Yeah. Yeah, that would work. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Ready?
Yeah, it's good. You got it? Thank you. Will you give a hand to Chuck? I mean, all the work that he's doing. What a blessing he is to our conference, and to have him as the person in charge of this camp. I don't know if you know this, but he mentioned his wife, not only that he had to struggle with his accident, but also his wife had been going through a really difficult time. And we would just take 2 minutes just to pray for Mission Spring and to pray for the leadership and everyone who's working so hard to make this camp possible, because God is in the midst of this camp, and God is actually moving in ways that sometimes we don't see it, sometimes we don't feel it, but trust me, God is at work. Would you just please close your eyes and say, Lord, we just want to give you thanks for the vision that 90-something years ago, a group of immigrants, Swedish, planted the seed, oh God, for this camp to exist. And today, oh God, as we are facing the challenges of remodeling and so many things that are coming, Father, we just want to give you thank you for the leadership that you have placed in this camp, for each and every person that is working behind the scenes to make sure that this is a wonderful experience for everyone. We thank you for Chuck's leadership, for his heart, for his passion. And we pray, oh Lord, that you will bless this place and expand it, make it grow, make it better, and that we will see, oh God, generations after generation coming to enjoy the privilege and the blessing that we have for having Mission Spring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I am so excited to be here with you guys. And I am beyond thrilled. For me, being in the men's retreat preaching, I mean, this is the highest of the highest. I remember coming once in a while, you know, checking out what was going on when I was new into the covenant. And it was intimidating to come here and see what God was doing amongst the men. And I never thought that I was going to be a part of the conference working. So I serve you guys, and I also serve your pastors, and I serve my boss immediately, which is Paul Wilson, which is here. And I would like to honor him for being present. And when Chuck called me and said, Abraham, we want you to be here and preach for the next men's retreat. Oh, my Lord, my legs start to shake. You know, you're afraid. You're like, oh, God, how are we going to be doing this? But thank you guys for allowing me to be here, even though you didn't know I was going to be the preacher. But as you can see, I look different. I'm not Persian. I'm actually Latino. So, but I'm going to be talking about a guy that is actually was taken to a Persian and mid world called Daniel when he was about 16 years old. And you know, we are talking about stand firm. Can you go to the next slide, please? And that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about. But before we get into the topic, I want you to understand that in the last, this morning and last night, we were talking about Daniel. And when Chuck spoke to us as preacher, he said, you guys feel free, just make sure that's about Daniel, and this is our theme. And I'm sure that you're going to hear something similar to what, you know, it was being said. Now, we have the whole entire book of Daniel, and for some reason, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us to use the same chapter. Because I was asking some people about this morning, and they were saying, yeah, chapter 6. And I'm like, huh. So I learned one thing. When God repeats things over and over and over, you better put attention. And you never should be getting tired of hearing the same message, because that same message will save your life, and there is a purpose behind it. Now, I know that every individual is different, so I'm sure I'm going to be bringing some different points that maybe you're not familiar. And I want you to put a lot of attention, because once in a while I will say a word that is maybe in a different way. And now, I want you to understand what is my background. I'm not Mexican. I am actually from Venezuela, even though people don't know where is that at. That's not the south. Below Mexico, below Guatemala. It's kind of a little bit more down. And I was raised in Trinidad and Tobago, so I learned English with a British Caribbean accent, like a Jamaican. And then my wife, which is pure American, Midwestern, she actually trying to help me so I can speak better. So I'm confused when it comes into English. And no matter how hard I'm trying, you know, people are going to like, huh? So just bear with me. And please just put attention to what God is going to be speaking to your heart and open your heart. Amen. So I want to just read really quick, and this is not my strength, reading in English, so please bear with me. Oh, you got it. Perfect. So let's listen to this scripture, and I'm going to be using the New Living Translation. And I love it because it's easier to understand, and it's, I believe it's more comfortable for me to read as well. So it says, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrator to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all of the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Next. The other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Next. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We're all in agreement with administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors that the king should make a law that will strictly enforce, give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. Next. And now, your majesty, issue a sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Let us pray. Lord, I ask you that you will speak to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will lead us, that you will touch the areas that you know, God, that sometimes are hidden. And I pray, oh Father, that nothing will escape from you today, and that we will not walk out of this place in the same way that we came in. We surrender to you, oh God. And let your presence do your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So here's a couple of things that gets my attention from this young man. Because at the time that this is happening, he wasn't that young. But he was taken to this place out of his will when he was 16 years old. And he was forced into these different religions and different ways of life. And it was a challenge from the moment he was a young man into now that he's this reputable leader, ruler, administrator, everything you can imagine. But there was a couple of gifts that he had that it was unique to him as an individual that made him to be someone who completely shined among everybody. And that was wisdom. A wisdom that nobody else had. And also discernment. He understood the will of God. He understood the way how God actually was doing things around him where nobody else even had an idea what was going on. That's why when you start to read the story of the book of Daniel, you can see him just standing up to some of the rules of the king, asking them to be fed by the food that was being sacrificed to idols. And that's how the whole entire story begins, to kind of share what was in his heart. But then at the same time, there's a lot of conviction and trust as he's growing up and different circumstances that he's going and he's dealing with. But when we get to this particular point where he's actually standing up for God and is standing up in a way that is a challenge, and I know that you know the story. I mean, if by yesterday and this morning you don't know the story, I mean, you're in trouble. So please, bear with me if I'm not reading some other stuff. But the first thing that I want you to understand is that, next, in order to stand firm, we must know the ground we are standing on. We cannot stand if we have no clue what position, what place, where is what I'm actually standing on. You see, that is the key, I believe, to start to talk about standing when we talk about Daniel. He had an understanding that nobody else had. So when he was challenged about his faith and the different things that he actually saw as important, he knew what was his ground. You see, that is the challenge for manhood today. We don't know where we stand sometimes. Society have changed the identity and the roles so fast. When I was growing up, you know, the man was the one who was the bread provider. The person that was actually considered to be the whatever he says, that's what it goes. And some family have this structure. But now when we watch TV, we have the Homer Simpson idea that we're just a bunch of dummies with a wife that tells exactly what to do. And sometimes that's reality. But at the same time, we're confused. We're hearing different messages. And we're trying to actually provide. We're trying to be the breadwinner. Then we're trying to be smart. We're trying to actually prove that we're right in some other way how we're doing this stuff. We're challenged financially. We're challenged by our kids. Things are changing. And to know where we stand is a problem. And it's a challenge that is getting more difficult as the days and the years and the months are passing by. Now, if you read the scripture and you put attention, and I kind of give you some clues, I highlight and put in yellow so it kind of pop out of the scripture. But if you go next to this particular scripture, listen to what the enemies. Now, remember, they were trying to find something where they can get Daniel, and they couldn't find anything. But then there's this particular scripture that gets my attention because they understood that the ground that he was standing on, it was more than just values, human values. Because in the same time, we have in this world asking us to be good people. That's enough. And maybe to be spiritual, but not with a commitment that will compromise our relationships and the ties that we have emotionally sometimes with things to keep the status quo. So when we were in challenge of our ground, that is a whole different level. Now, check what it says. It says, so they concluded, our only chance is of finding grounds. And I love that word. You see, to find the place where you stand. And the enemy is searching and seeking, where do you stand? Now, to me, it's a challenge to know that your cell phone or the people who control the data of your cell phone know more about you than your wife, your kids, than people in your church. But what we don't understand is that the Holy Spirit knows more than those cell phones. And that He dwells in your heart. That He is living within you. Being a part of you in a silent way. He knows when what we're doing is not from the ground that He wants us to stand up. He knows if what we actually are saying matches of with our actions. But then in the moment of finding grounds for accusing Daniel, we'll be in connection, and then immediately it says, the rules of his religion. So if we don't know how to define the grounds of our faith, our enemy will. And that, oh Lord, that is the battle that we face every day. Because if the enemy doesn't know how to get it, all he needs to do is just get into your phone. What you watch, what you hear, who you're talking to, what are you writing, what music are you listening to, everything. Next, now the Bible says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual. In his upstairs room, with its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking God's help. Whew. Now, there are three characteristics that Daniel had that no one could criticize or condemn. Can you go next? And I believe this is exactly the key that the world is trying to look how we are actually either fulfilling who we claim we are or we're not. And the first thing is that he was faithful. Will you say with me, faithful? The second thing is that he was always responsible. Will you say with me, responsible? And he was completely trustworthy. Now, the challenge that we face as men begins with being faithful, being responsible, and being trustworthy. And faithfulness to keep our relationships with integrity, faithfulness to our faith, faithfulness to do the work in a clean way without shortcuts, faithfulness to the morality that God demands versus what the world today is challenging us with, faithfulness to understand that everything begins with God and not with my own strength, faithfulness to keep my promises when I was nobody and I asked God to bring me some wealth, some opportunities, and now that I have it, I don't need him anymore. Faithfulness in ways that is deeper connections than what we are used to it. And he was responsible because understanding that with that faithfulness, there are responsibilities that is coming along that. And wife and children are saying, will you be more responsible? And then at the same time, we can feel that we're breaking our necks and we're working so hard to be providers and to do all this stuff. But the responsibility is still there to also be someone who is presence. And responsibility is also connected with our relationship and intimacy. And somehow for us, it's so difficult to build relationships that are actually connected with intimacy. We know how to be superficial. We know how to laugh. We know how to be sometimes in a way that it feels good, but we never really speak about the deep secrets or the areas where we are hurt. He was responsible. He was completely trustworthy. And you know why sometimes we cannot speak what we have inside? Because it's hard to find someone that you can trust. And that begins with us. Because sometimes we don't even trust our own self. So these characteristics are characteristics that Daniel had that, you know, they saw how perfect this man is. And they couldn't find nothing. Now, the world was trying to actually bring this as high values that you will find in people that are not in church. But all of these virtues that are so amazing, they come from God. And they understood that this is a fruit, a result of actually an intimate relationship with God. So they immediately start to find out the ground where he was standing. Next. And the one thing the enemy can challenge was his faith, his religion. Because if we can actually stop him from doing all of this stuff, all of that faithfulness, all of that responsibility, all of that trustworthy that he's actually holding on the king because the king wanted him to be over everyone. So as I'm sure you guys were hearing this morning, jealousy, competition, all the different things that as men we struggle with, were actually the challenges that he was facing. But Daniel had the habit of kneeling down in his upstairs room before God. And that speaks about humility. It didn't matter how high he was going. He always and had the habit, as usual, he will come before the presence of God and he will bow before him. He will kneel down. You know how difficult it is for a royalty to, you know, bend his knees? He's expecting everyone to bend the knee before them, to receive all the praise and all the glory. But this young man, from the moment he was young until now that he's an adult, he realized it's all about God. It's all about my Creator and my relationship with my Creator. So he was a humble servant. He had the windows open towards Jerusalem. And this means transparency. You see, everybody can see his worship lifestyle. It's not a secret. There's no embarrassment. Windows are open. That also means visibility. He didn't care if people see him pray. He didn't care at all. I have been in places that we say, can we pray right now? And they're looking around like, what? Right here? Yeah, it's okay. No. And, you know, it is reality. We struggle right now because the word, and we were talking about that for the last couple of days. Even to say that you're evangelical, it's like, oh, are you one of those? And now you're going to pray? Oh my God. How dare you? But that's reality. He prayed 3 times a day. I was talking to a guy and I was saying, you know, I was reading the scripture. That challenged me because I do it once a day. Maybe at the most twice. 3 times a day. And this guy would, you know, very prideful say, yeah, I pray 3 times a day. Are you for real? Yeah. I eat 3 times a day every day. I pray for my food before I eat. So I ask him, so what do you pray? And he goes, yeah, I said, Lord, what I prayed yesterday, I pray today. Bless this food. Amen. And I was like, that doesn't count. I use the same word, how dare you? You know, for a moment, you actually make me feel guilty. And he's like, well. But, you know, 3 times a day, that's... And this is discipline. You know, a lot of people look at how many times. I believe that's discipline. But it's at the same time wisdom. You see, we rely so much on our own strength. We rely so much on our power. And when we accomplish something, we're always thinking, I'm so smart. It's that ego inside of us just eating everything inside. But if you remember, he was asking God for help, which is in the next point. Which means that as he was putting in more difficult situations, he understand the reliability that he had and how he needed to rely on God for the big decisions. He wasn't afraid. He actually had a habit of giving thanks to God in the midst of the adversity and saying, God, thank you. And then he was asking God for help in the middle of the problem. You see, he understood his ground. Now the question is, do you know your grounds? Do you know where you stand with your faith? Oh yeah, I go to church. Oh yeah, I go to every camp. Oh yeah, I give my tithes and my offerings. Oh yeah, I believe and I... No. When you're put to the challenge, do you know where your grounds are? Do you understand the conviction that this demands? Next, I want you to understand that the power of purpose of conviction is everything. Jesus himself had to find his place. And I want you to look at this scripture that I'm going to be presenting in a moment. Now, I want you to understand, this is Jesus before he started his ministry. So he is actually being pushed by the Holy Spirit to enter into the wilderness. And he's being tempted day and night. The Bible only speaks about 3 times. But if you continue to read, it says that the devil left for a time, then he came back, the enemy. But he was completely into trusting God, learning through the process. And, you know, he doesn't need to do this stuff, but he's doing it so we can see some of the process that we're going to be going through. If this is Jesus Christ, what would we expect as humans? So as he's ready to start the ministry, the Bible says that he comes out full of the Holy Spirit with the power of God. And he goes inside into his hometown. Now, let's read what the Bible says. Luke of Acts chapter 4, verse 16 and 19. It says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. Will you say with me? He found the place. Now, many of us are reading the Bible every day, but we haven't found the place, the purpose of our life. You see, Jesus was reading the Bible, and then he came into this part that said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news. Now, the prophet Isaiah spoke about him before he came. This is a mission statement. This is the whole entire ministry of Jesus Christ. And when he found the scripture, he's like, boom, this is it. I am the one this scripture is talking about. But to have that encounter to the place in the Bible where he can stand firm and say, here I am before you guys. This has been fulfilled. You know what everybody did? They stood up and said, let's stone this guy. What a heresy he just said. You know why? That is his home, his boyhood home. Everybody knows him. And the challenge is that God can do something with you when you're dealing with your own family. That as you walk out of this place, this is not just another experience, but you actually are coming out of this transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Challenged and motivated and inspired to go back to your house and change the routines and stand up for the grounds where God is calling you to stand. And he challenged everyone. And they were looking at him like, isn't that the son of Joseph, the captain? What? He's going to be telling me all this? It's crazy. Let's kill this guy. And the Bible said that he walked in the middle of them. Those were Jesus' lions from the very beginning. When you go back and you say to your wife, I promise you, I haven't been faithful. I haven't been responsible. I haven't been trustworthy. But God has spoke to me. And you know, those three words are hitting inside of my heart because I know that God is calling me. And she's going to look at you and say, bring the stone. Let's stone this guy. At the moment, Jesus haven't had one miracle. No even healings. Nothing. And he even says after that the phrase, oh, you guys are going to tell me, doctor, cure yourself? And that's another challenge. But he stood up his ground because he found his place in the Word of God. And that is something that as Christians sometimes we're lacking today. That Word of God that when you read it, you know this is God talking to you. That when the Scriptures are being read and studied, the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside of you can have access to the busy mind, the distracted thoughts, and you understand that you rely on the Holy Spirit for the understanding of what God wants in your life, and then you find your place, and you can say, yes, the Holy Spirit is upon me because he has called me. Next, Abraham Lincoln said, be sure you put your feet in the right place. Then stand firm. Then you can fight. Then you can do whatever. You see, and a lot of us is like, okay, so I need to stand. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. Next, standing firm is about endurance and resistance, not about not falling. And you need to understand that it's a lot of people telling you, don't let no one move you. We're human. So check next what the Bible says. Verse 15. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So at last, the king gave orders to Daniel for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. Now you see the testimony of Daniel was not about faithfulness just to the king. Even the king that wanted him to be in charge of everyone says, the God that you serve so faithfully. And I want you to see this. God never said that you will not be facing hardship. God never said that you're not going to be facing lions. Next. We all face lions. We all will struggle with situations in our life. And even the friend of Daniel, which spent the whole entire night looking for a way, how can I escape and help my friend, my buddy Daniel, after throwing Daniel into the den. Then verse 19, next, it says, very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish. He was worried. They killed my best worker. Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you served so faithfully. Twice he gave testimony of the faithfulness. Able to rescue you from the lions. Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths so that they will not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty. You see, you're going to be thrown through the lions then. If you don't find your ground, somebody will. And the question is not if you're going to go through that. What's going to happen when you're being faced with the lions? What it would be the testimony that it will be given? Will you be faithful? Responsible? And trustworthy? Will God shut the mouth of the lions? Now, hear me clearly. Next. It's all about getting up and keeping the purpose. Because there are going to be moments in your life that you're going to be thrown to the floor. Just like Daniel was thrown to the den. Now, I don't know if anyone have ever been thrown into a den. Any survivors in here? But let me tell you, there are two ways that you're going to be in the floor. One, voluntarily, with humbleness, as you come before your presence of God, just like he used to do every day, or through the challenges and the difficult moments you're going to live in life. I have gone through difficult times, and here's what I learned going through difficult situations. I'd rather humble myself before the presence of God than being punched and thrown, fighting the will of God. And I tell you why. And when you see this, you're going to get it. When I am going to humble myself and I have to bend down, I look at the place where I'm standing and I'm finding a comfortable place. And I'm going to be able to even sleep and rest. But if someone throws me on the floor, I'm going to fall in any position. It's going to hurt. And you don't want that. You want to be able to fall in a way that you're comfortable. And before he got to the den, he already had seen those lions when he opened the windows. And he knew that no matter what happens, regardless of him being a martyr, dying for God, or making it out of it, it's all about keeping the purpose. So I want you to talk about Paul being stoned and dragged. You see, there are similarities. This story of Daniel is not just with him. There are other stories in the Bible. In the book of Acts, next, it says, then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. Now, before I continue, here's what's going on. There are different people following Paul. You see, sometimes we get to this position, not because it's something that is happening right now, but there are things that have been following us from the past. They're actually following and pursuing us. And then when they finally get to us, we're wondering, what happened? So Paul was preaching in Antioch, and he got everybody upset, and even some about 40 people said, we're going to kill this guy. And we swear that we're going to stop eating, we're going to fast into his death. So I'm sure they were hungry going after him. And they want to make sure that he's dead so they can eat. And then, you know, they went to Iconium and all of the city. And finally he get to this place. And the Bible says that they stoned Paul and dragging him out of the town, thinking that he was dead. Another version said that he was half dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. You see, when you know where you're standing, you understand that it's not about just standing up. And once you're on the floor, you think, oh my God, that's it. That's the end. You need to get up. You need to get up. Your purpose is not gone. God is still at work. As long as there is life, He has a purpose in you. And many of you are already giving up with your children, with your spouses, with your work, with your own life. You need to get up. It's about faithfulness, responsibility, and being trustworthy. You see, the battle is not done until it's done. I want to tell you about the story of a guy called Buster Douglas. 1990. Now, let me tell you. I remember my father was, he's a fan of boxer. And, you know, Tyson was in the peak of his career. And he paid for this pay-per-view. And I was in the kitchen. The fight was just starting. We ran out of popcorn and chips and stuff. And he's like, okay, you have the first round. And then I hear the microphone going, bim, and then we hear, knockout. What? He didn't even last like two rounds or something like that? It was the shortest fight ever. And we pay a lot of money for pay-per-view. My father was upset. We're like, can I get my money back? You know, at least they would have had the, you know, just fight for a little bit. You know, just box so things would be nicer and kind of make me happy a little bit. But no, it was so fast. So when this fight came out, nobody wanted to see it. Everybody knew what was going to happen. So in 2 minutes, I mean, this is a short recap. This thing went for hours. In 1990, something happened that a lot of people do not remember. But I want you to happen in the 8th round and later on in the 10th round. And check what saved this guy. Can you play the video, please?
Just another day of work for Mike Tyson. He looks almost bored as they call to the center of the ring by the referee. The stage is set. We're set to go. Bob Sheridan here. You see Mike Tyson in the black trunks, traditional, and Buster Douglas.
Talking in the back before I came out to preach, and somebody was telling me that Mike Tyson, he was so cocky about being the champion that they didn't have anything for AIDS about the cuts and all that stuff. They were thinking he's going to come and destroy Douglas. And if you saw it round 8, the bell saved him. They were in the last of the last. And out of nowhere, somebody goes, bing, saved by the bell. You see, God has the bell in his hands. And sometimes you're on the floor thinking, I'm done. They're counting. They already got to 8, 9. This is over. Divorce is the solution. Unemployment is the end of my life. My kids, I don't know what to do. I have no friends or real friends. I'm not happy what I see in the mirror. And you're done. But a true champion, a person who understands what the ring means, the ground where you are fighting, the place where God has put you in, place you in to fight the good fight. When Paul was in the floor, he got up. And then he did the craziest thing. He went and preached to the city that stoned him and threw them out. He didn't just quit. And this is what he says at the very end of his life. Next. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. But faithful to who? To the call, to the understanding of the Holy Spirit saying, I have a purpose. I have created you to be something. But you need to find that in the Word of God like Jesus did. Find the place that you say, here is what God is calling me to do. And walk in the midst of those who want to stone him. When Danny was in the pit, I can only imagine that man just sitting there on the floor without trying to move until he saw the angel of the Lord with a bell. Ding! Then he said. And then the Bible says that when the king came over and asked him, he said, yes, my king. The angel of the Lord came and shut the mouth of the lions. He took everyone who was against Daniel, including his family. And they were thrown into the den. And the Bible says that before they even hit the ground, the lions would devour them. That's round number 10. Yes, the undefeated Satan has been defeated on the cross. The blood of the Lord is still clean sins like it was yesterday. And the power of the Holy Spirit can transform somebody's life. And even if people have called you a loser, or maybe you feel too good. So I have 10 questions, really quick. And this is a call for your life. And I want you to think about these 10 questions. How faithful are you? Think about this. How faithful are you? How responsible in your spiritual life, in your walk with God, in the walk with your wife, in the walk with your children, in the walk with your parents, with your brothers, with your church? How trustworthy are you? Are you a person that can be trusted? And I want to make a stop right there. You know what happened when Paul was on the ground? There were a group of believers that trust Paul. The trust, just like, you know, the king was a friend of Daniel. He came up to the den and he's like, Daniel, are you alive? When Paul was on the floor, the believers came around Paul and said, Paul, are you alive? Now, my question is, who are you walking with? That when you're on the floor, can come around you and say, hey, are you alive? So how trustworthy are you to have people with you? Will you endure in your purpose? Will you humble before the Lord. Will you open the windows of your heart for the light of God to come in? Will you give thanks to God in the midst of adversity? And will you ask God for help and understand that you cannot do it all? Will you pray rather than just thinking about it, talking about it? And I want to ask this call. Will you stand with me? Because some of you are in round 9. You don't even face this round 10. You're still in the den. And you are surrounded by believers, by kings and princes, or prince, I'm sorry. And if you are saying today, I need to stand, I want you to stand. Knowing where your grounds are and saying, yes, I believe that I will make it to the 10th round. And as you stand, I'm going to ask those who are around this person to come and pray for that person. We don't want to live without you knowing that this is not your end. Will you stand? Will you stand? Will you be honest and say, I need prayer, but I'm going to endure? Will you let the Holy Spirit do the work in you today? Will you say, I need you? I need you. Now worship is going to be playing. And as the worship is playing, I want you to keep your eyes right now on the Lord. Just like Daniel kept his eyes through those windows watching God and saying, help me. And as there are more people standing up, I want to ask those who are around, will you please come around them and lay your hands. And pray. Hallelujah. Father, we come before your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit. We need you today. We need to find people who are around us. That will walk with us in those moments when we are challenged and facing difficulties. Will you come, Holy Spirit? As I declare that I need you, I declare that I'm insufficient if your power and your presence is not with us today.
Find my rest without you.